Hey, before we get going with this week's episode, I wanted to share some exciting news. Trav and I will be hosting the world premiere of Design Disruptors, a documentary by Envision, in San Francisco tomorrow, June 29th. Design Disruptors reveals a never-before-seen perspective on the design approaches of some of the top companies in the industry and how they are overtaking billion-dollar industries through design. So join us tomorrow as we host the red carpet event at the historic Castro Theater in San Francisco. To view the live event, go to Envision's Facebook page and look for the live video stream around 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We will be interviewing some of the top leaders in the design industry and are looking forward to you joining us in the live comments. I'll link you all to the Facebook page in the show notes. And now, the episode.
Late nights
with Trav.
With Trav and Lowe's.
With Trav and Lowe's.
Late nights with Trav and Lowe's.
So Lowe's is hosting tonight. You got some content for us.
I do.
You prepared.
I'm prepared.
Some ideas to present. I'm all ears, man. I'm really excited about this.
So I want to read a definition for you completely out of context.
You're not going to tell me what the word is? You're
no.
Just going to read me the definition?
Just going to read you the definition.
And then actually, it's like balderdash or categories or something.
I guess.
Like where I have to tell you what the word is. Okay.
You can give that a shot.
Go ahead.
I was going to give it to you afterwards. Here's the definition.
I'm ready. Panda.
Panda. Panda. Panda.
Panda. Panda. My wife and I just like walk by each other and go, panda. Because that song makes no sense.
That's good. All right. So here's the definition.
Okay.
A discussion between two or more people where one, stakes are high, two, opinions vary, and three, emotions run strong, and the outcome greatly impacts their lives.
Ooh. And there's a single word that means this thing?
A set of words. There's two words.
A discussion where, you know, impacts our lives. Just the emotion is high. Discussion between two people. Flabbergast.
The reason I read that to you is because that is the definition of a crucial conversation.
Oh snap! That's a good definition.
Which ends up being the topic for tonight's
crucial
podcast.
Conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
So you and I have both been in discussions where the following is present: stakes are high.
Yeah.
Opinions vary.
Mm-hmm.
And emotions run strong.
Okay.
Now, these discussions happen at home, with friends, or at work.
Yeah.
Yeah, they happen all the time.
Yeah. Crucial.
Crucial. Now, I know that I have been in these discussions where they didn't end well. Yeah. Someone leaves with feelings hurt and has an adverse impact on their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Either myself.
Yeah.
Or the person I'm talking to.
Yeah, yeah.
So to prepare for this episode, I found a lot of notes online that all stem from this one book called Crucial Conversations, Tools for Talking When Stakes Are High.
Oh, that sounds like a good read.
Now, I bought the book today and prepped this episode from the notes I found online.
Okay.
Amazon Prime, it's going to get on my doorstep tomorrow.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant you bought the book and read it today, like in one day.
No.
It was crucial that you read it.
No. I prepped this podcast from the notes.
Got it. I'm with you. So these are basically just reading Amazon reviews to us today.
I didn't read one Amazon review.
No, I thought we were going to have a whole episode of like 3 stars. Like my content is Amazon reviews.
Oh, I should do that. Scratch my preparation. We're going to do that. We're Googling today.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like,
I wanted to share this episode with you because recently the occurrence of crucial conversations have been increasing at work.
For you.
For me, and yeah. I am not as prepared for them as I need to be.
Right. You know, the episodes where you're just teaching yourself, those are the best ones.
Yeah.
Wow, those are my favorite.
Because
I learn the most from them. Because like, hey, actually, I need that too.
My hope for this episode is to introduce you to the tools that will help you prepare for high-stakes conversations. So here's the breakdown. The book focuses on three main ideas and four useful mental models. Here are the three main ideas.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give it to you straight here in the beginning, and then we'll unpack each one.
All right.
Here are the three main ideas. Number one, start with heart. Master your stories is number two.
Start with heart, master your stories.
And number three, step out,
make it safe, step back in. So let's start with heart.
Start with heart. Wow, this is a lot. I feel like this is going to be pretty heavy.
Start with heart.
But good, like good heavy.
Good heavy.
Yeah.
The big thing here, and when starting with heart, is to pause before you even utter a word and get clear on what you want out of the interaction.
Don't let your emotions lead you. Lead with emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Does that even make sense? What I'm trying to say is, like, when you're hot in your head, your emotions will lead you down, you know, you're going to act self-preservationally, you're going to make rash decisions, you're going to act with your ego, your id, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the other way to use emotions when you're sharing a message is to share the emotion of why, you know, your story is important or whatever the thing is, you know? Like I was talking with my one of the people I work with, and we're talking about how to share in a meeting. We say, like, oh, it's so important to, you know, talk about, like, who will benefit from this and how and why and what's their story. But also we need to jump into the rationalization, but make sure you hit them in the face with a big emotion, you know?
Yeah.
Like that, like when you're doing a presentation, like if I'm trying to sell my boss on, like, hey, I need some money, I need some people, I need some manpower, I need some resources for this project idea I want to get done, they need to have an emotional resonance for why.
Mm-hmm.
Start with heart.
So what we mentioned is pause before you even utter a word.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And get clear on what you want out of the interaction.
Mm-hmm. Don't react. Yeah.
Now, the goal here is what you were talking about, is to move blood flow from the fight or flight areas of your brain, your id, to your cognitive ones. Mm-hmm. Asking questions refocuses the brain and works as a pattern interrupt.
Oh my gosh.
For what would otherwise be a downward spiral of results you don't want.
Dude, you just blew my mind right now. My mind is blown. Like, how do you get somebody to stop being a lizard brain user? Ask them a question. Immediately, they have to use their frontal lobes.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap.
So
what?
Okay, so you can ask them a question. Start by asking yourself a question.
That's how you get yourself out of fight or flight.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm just like, oh man, I'm just like spinning on this right now. Like, how do you get yourself out of
fight or flight?
Yeah.
You ask yourself four questions, which moves your blood from the id to your cognitive frontal lobe.
Oh my life. Blowing my mind right now.
Here are the questions. Number one, what do I want for myself?
Right.
Number two, what do I want for others? Number three, what do I want for the relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the last one. How would I behave if I really wanted those results?
Right.
Okay, the last question specifically checks for harmony. By asking these questions, you can easily identify a behavior you can change.
Uh-huh.
Start with heart. Granted, doing this is in the middle of a conversation takes skill and practice.
Sure, yeah.
Right? So a tip is to prepare these questions before a crucial conversation, especially at work.
Ask them in a normal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do I want for myself? What do I want for others? What do I want for this relationship? And if I really wanted that, how would I behave to get those results?
Right. You probably wouldn't yell. You probably wouldn't, like, say, well, if you didn't blah, 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 you know, like, you wouldn't be, what is it called? Accusatory.
Yeah.
You know?
So here's an interesting metaphor I came across for these conversations that you have.
Yeah.
It's the idea of seeing the space between you and the other person. Visualize with me. There's a space between you.
There's a space between us.
And you see that space as a pool of shared meaning, a pool you both should work to feed with information.
Uh-huh.
This focuses the conversation back on sharing and transparency as opposed to secrecy and more aggressive debate and negotiation techniques.
Trying to get your point of view on top of somebody else. We're trying to share the
share pool. Into this pool that exists between us.
That's good.
Right? So that was number one, start with heart. Number two is mastering your stories. So master my stories.
Uh-huh.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
Others don't make you mad. You make you mad. In particular, the stories we tell ourselves is what make us mad.
Yeah.
So between the moment of stimulus and response, there's a space.
Yep.
And in that space, you're allowed to retrace your path. So there's a moment there.
Uh-huh.
From when there's a stimulus and when there's a response, right?
Yeah.
So in that space, you're allowed to retrace your path, tell yourself a different story, and derive different actions from the same stimulus. So others don't push your buttons, only you do.
That's interesting. Oh, I was talking to a friend this week, and we were talking about, and we were referring to it as a lens. There's a mm-hmm. lens in front of what you see.
Mm-hmm.
There's an action that happened externally, and you're going to translate that through the lens,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to be able to react or act, you know, based on what your lens is telling you happened. So, like, let's say we're walking down the hallway and we bump into each other.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't know you from Adam, I'm just going to be like, oh, sorry, man. You know, like,
because there's a stimulus and the story you're telling yourself is, oh, I don't know this guy.
Completely innocent.
It's
no
probably
reason.
An accident.
But like, if you're like this dude in the office who's just like a jerk,
mm.
and like you kind of say mean things. I mean, I heard you're talking about me, whatever. Just being mean, being gross. And like we bumped into each other.
You're telling yourself a different story.
There's a story in between there, mm-hmm. right? There's something on the lens. So the lens is colored by past experience,
mm-hmm.
right? So what you're saying here is, what are you saying here?
What I'm saying is that there, in that moment between stimulus and response, yeah. the bump on the shoulder in the hallway,
tell yourself a different story.
Yeah, and there's a time where you should allow yourself to retrace your path of that story,
yeah.
and tell yourself a different story.
Huh?
Right? Because the flow usually is, or it's quick and easy to go through this flow of you see something, you feel it, and then you act.
Yeah.
Instead, do this. See something, tell a story, feel, then act.
And the story is like, understand rationally what happened.
Right, because if you tell yourself bad stories, it'll lead to feeling bad. It'll lead to bad feelings and acting in a way that's unproductive.
Totes.
So tell yourself good stories.
Yeah.
Better stories.
Yeah.
Mm. So there are three ways to break this cycle. The cycle of see, feel, act.
Okay.
Okay. Number one is retrace your path. Get back to the facts. What really happened in terms of things you can see and things you can hear, right? So replace "you looked at me angry" with "your face frowned and you started using your phone."
Right. Right. So that's not interpretation, that's observation.
Observation.
Interesting.
Your face frowned and then you started using your phone. What does that mean?
Do you interpret it? Or like why would you not interpret it?
We're trying to create a shared pool of understanding.
Oh, so this is something you're saying? Like, hey, your face.
Yeah, this is something you say.
What happened to your face?
Yeah, you looked at me angry. Like, sometimes you're like, well, you looked at me angry.
You looked at me angry.
Or you looked angry.
Yeah.
Something common like that.
You'd say something like that?
Or if you're having a conversation, it's crucial. You want to create a shared understanding.
That's interesting. I was in a meeting once and, you know, people were talking. And one person goes, "You don't have to talk to me like that to get this job done."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa, what just happened?
So that's a crucial conversation.
And the
right?
person was like, oh, you know what? I didn't realize that's not how I meant it.
Yeah.
So I apologize for coming across that way. And what happened was, you know, like, no, I'm not saying any one of those two people was at fault, but a problem was avoided entirely
mm-hmm.
by talking, you know, like not letting it be interpreted and kind of like spiral
mm-hmm.
around like that. They had this pool right between them, and the person who took an offense put the input straight into the pool and said, mm-hmm. "Okay, here it is. Now it's a part of what we're sharing."
Mm-hmm. Right?
It's interesting.
So it's creating a shared pool of understanding.
Right. Yeah.
Number two. This is three ways to break this cycle of see, feel, act.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, there's this idea of three clever stories, and they're as follows. The first one, there is the idea of a victim story.
Mm-hmm.
It always happens to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Then there's the villain story. I know he's out to get me.
Okay.
And then there's the helpless story. There's nothing I can do to change this.
Right.
So number two is spot the three clever stories so that you can do number three. Tell the rest of the story. So when you spot it, turn victims into actors by changing your strategies. Villains into humans. Like, what's the positive intention this person's trying to do? And the last one, the helpless story. Turn the helpless into the able. What is the best next thing to do?
Right, right.
Right, so it's understanding.
Looking for an opportunity, even though, like, by default, you would feel like there is none.
Right.
Uh-huh. Right.
Okay, so now we talk about a good way to share your own story with others is to use the state model, which was share your facts, tell your story, ask for others' paths, and talk tentatively, encourage testing of the findings. So what happens when other people are using a silence strategy?
What's a silence strategy?
You're in a conversation and
they're just blocking you out?
Just go silent because they don't want to.
They don't want to engage.
They don't want to engage, or they're feeling hurt, and the only way they know how to deal with it is just to not talk.
Right, right. Okay.
You have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. You know, that kind of ideology.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So previously, we're using the state model. You're sharing your facts, you're telling your story, you're asking other people for their paths, you're talking tentatively, and you're encouraging testing of the findings. We're like talking, right? So what happens when that model breaks? People are silent.
Yeah.
You use the AMP model, two P's at the end,
uh-huh,
to help feed the pool of knowledge with the details of the interaction. Ask to get things rolling. Mirror to confirm feelings. Paraphrase to acknowledge story, and prime when you're getting nowhere.
Okay.
Next one. Step out. Make it safe. Step in. Dialogue is only available when both parties have a sense of security. And there's a case for engaging a conversation in dual watch mode. Watching the conversation for content while also watching it for conditions.
Mm-hmm.
What are they saying? Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Right. What do I see? So when either party feels like safety is lacking, they usually result into one of the two opposite strategies. Silence,
uh-huh,
which is masking, avoiding, or withdrawing.
So sometimes I just don't know what to say. And it's not like I'm avoiding. It's just like, right, I'm dumbfounded right now. That happens to me a lot. That I get dumbfounded. I don't know what that says about me.
I don't know. So when safety starts to erode or it's lacking, two things happen.
Uh-huh.
Silence.
Or
violence, controlling, labeling, and attacking.
Right. Aggression.
Because once safety is broken, it's usually due to one of two things. Number one, lack of mutual purpose.
Uh-huh. Okay.
When one or both parties are not working towards the same goal or the same purpose.
Mm-hmm. Misalignment.
Safety starts to break. Number two, lack of mutual respect.
Okay.
Okay. When one or both parties feel like the other one doesn't respect the interests being presented, or worse, the people presenting them, respect is like air. If it's not there, that's all people think about.
Right. Yeah, totally. Like, they're just basically avoiding. Well, they're not using the pool that's between them.
Yeah.
You know, they're out for their own self. They're trying to get their own agenda on top of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Right. So if respect is there, if air is there, the purpose of living is not to keep breathing.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's all you want. If there's no air, you want air.
No, that's interesting. Yeah. The purpose of life changes quickly if you don't have any air.
That's right. Or mutual respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's all you want is, uh-huh, respect, right? Uh-huh. There's also a case for stepping out of the conversation, making it safe, and then stepping back in to make it safe. This is a tool that could produce great results. And there are four things that are helpful to do this. And by this, it's step out, make it safe, and then step back in.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one is to apologize. Genuinely say you're sorry. You don't have to win always. Pick your battles. Number two, contrast. The concept is simple. Start with a don't, followed by a do statement, followed by the gap. You want to know what that looks like?
Don't, do, gap.
Right. It's a structure for a statement.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Start with don't, followed by a do, followed by the gap.
Mm-hmm.
This is best used when you spot an early sign of lack of safety,
uh-huh,
and want to course correct before the other person jumps to wrong conclusions. So here's an example of a sentence that's structured by don't do and then a gap.
I want to hear it, yeah.
Okay. I don't mean to imply you're not a trustworthy designer.
Uh-huh.
Here's the do part. Just last week, we worked together on the X feature, and you've proven to be autonomous and dependable. Here's a gap. Now, what I'm saying is that you need to communicate more often on your progress.
Oh, that's interesting. So what you're doing there is you're not letting them go too far with mm-hmm. your criticism,
mm-hmm.
with your statement, with your logic. You're not letting them run away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And either way, you know, positive or negative.
Yeah.
And then you're just saying, this is where the statement belongs. It's right in between the gap there.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Here's another way to
don't do gap. Los, I'm not saying I hate your face and it's ugly. Because the other day, you had a really nice face. But what I am saying is that you should shave your beard.
There you go.
I was practicing.
And you're practicing.
Right on you.
Number three is the crib model.
Uh-huh.
Commit to seek mutual purpose.
I'm still into this don't do gap. I'm still into that. That's a really great way to just like to help people understand where you're coming from. Because like, you know, when you're trying to get across like an idea to somebody, it's often very nuanced.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that you want to communicate is very specific usually. And it's so easy for people to run with it. Oh, are you saying I'm, you know, my face is always ugly then?
Yeah, I don't mean to tell you that you're...
Do one on me. Do me.
Okay.
Do me, Los. Do me. Do me next.
Hold on, here we go. I don't mean to say that you're ignoring me.
Uh-huh.
When you're looking at your phone. Just last time, you were looking at your phone. I was telling you a story, and you responded right back.
And yeah.
So what I'm asking you is that when I'm talking to you, don't look at your phone. Look at me.
That's good. Practical. I like it. The whole face thing I did, impractical. It's not founded in rationality. So everybody's like, why is he talking about his face?
Practical.
Yeah, practical.
Yeah. Don't do gap.
I'm not saying that you never, you know, help out around the house. Just the other day, like, I came home and like you had all my laundry folded and ready for me. That's amazing. But what I am saying is that we should focus on getting these dishes done better. Oh my gosh. Like I created a framework for you to understand exactly what I'm talking about. And by the way, that example is not about a relationship that I have
at all.
Yeah, no.
Number three is the crib model. Just another way that you can do it.
Okay.
Commit to seek mutual purpose.
Okay. Commit to seek mutual purpose.
And then you recognize the purpose behind the strategy.
Okay.
And then you invent a mutual purpose.
Recognize a purpose and then invent a purpose?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Recognize it. Understand. Wait. Commit to seeking a mutual purpose. Recognize the purpose behind the strategy. Then invent a mutual purpose. And then brainstorm new strategies. So it's a similar model to what you find in books like Getting to Yes.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Okay.
Kind of like that.
Well, give me an example of that one.
I don't have one.
Oh. I like role-playing.
Oh, these are notes.
Okay. Yeah, it's notes on a book you haven't read yet.
That's right. okay, so we've been talking about this idea of pattern interrupts.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Yeah. And it's a tool that you can use early in a conversation when you start to see any signs of lack of safety beginning to emerge, right? So these are pattern interrupts, and I want to spend more time on the idea of pattern interrupts, okay? So it looks like this. It looks like we don't share the same goals on this one. I'm sure there's a space for us to work together in a way that looks good for both of us. So before we move any further, help me understand what would you like to get out of this? This interrupts the pattern that the conversation may have continued on.
Like if you're like circling in an argument,
mm-hmm.
This is a way to jump out of that pattern. Mm-hmm. Pattern interrupt. I get the word now. Doik. Yeah, okay. So we're arguing, and that is why we need Eddie Van Halen in our band. And that is why we need a triumphant music video. And say, look.
Right. So it looks like we don't share the same goals on this one.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a space for us to work together in a way that looks good for both of us. So before we move any further, just help me understand what would you like to get out of this?
Uh-huh.
Pattern interrupt.
Pattern interrupt.
You stop going in circles and you get to the point.
Yeah. What are you seeking? Ladies and gentlemen, crucial conversation.
So there it is. I hope that I was successful in introducing you to tools that will hopefully help you prepare for high stakes conversations and help you transform those moments into additive experiences.
We covered a lot here tonight. I think this is one of those that it's just so heavy with like good advice that maybe take a day and then listen to this tomorrow. I'm gonna listen back to this a few times because like some of the times I'm like wait, ABC. I get it. I think my favorite part of what you brought in was the don't do gap. That was really great.
Don't do gap.
I'm gonna think about that when I'm trying to like convince kids to pick up their room. That's like my biggest fight is making the kids pick up their room. Let me practice you. You're a kid. I say, hey, I'm not saying you're a filthy slob. You picked up your room once before. That's great.
I don't mean you're not being a good boy.
Who's a good boy? You are. Lois, that was really great. Thanks for doing that, man. And I appreciate it, and the listeners appreciate it. If you guys want to contact us, you want to talk to us, give your feedback to how we're doing the show. If you have any questions for us, we love an email or a tweet. You can hit us up at Trav and Los on Twitter, or just email us at travandlos@gmail.com. And a lot of people like to send us MP3s. And, you know, if it makes sense, we'll include those on the show and have like a listener question. It's kind of like there's three people in the cantina. It's fun.
I like that.
We also have a website, travandlos.com, where you can hear all of the archive. We're at, what is it, 75 episodes behind us right now?
76.
Well, 76. It's pretty exciting. And, thank you guys all for listening tonight.
Thank you. And we'll see you next week when Travis hosts.
Tuesday morning.
Lo mejor, a mujeres no me falta ni el dinero ni el amor. Jineteando en mi caballo por la sierra yo me voy. Las estrellas y la luna ellas me dicen dónde voy. Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi morena de mi corazón.